Morning all. It's good to be here. For those that don't know me, my name is Neil. I'm curator here at Christchurch. It's such a privilege to be on staff team here and just all that God is doing. I'm going to claim responsibility. I sent a 12, not a 13 to the office, which is why we missed the end of the reading. But Chris helpfully spotted that and went, do you really want to finish at that point? I was like, no, next verse as well. So yeah, thankfully put it in. So thank you, Chris, for spotting that. Question for you. You can talk to the people around you. What's the highest thing you've ever climbed? What's the highest thing you've ever climbed? It can be a man-made thing or it can be a natural thing, a mountain or something like that. What's the highest thing you've ever climbed? Have a chat to each other. Fantastic. Lots of chat. Hopefully that was about high things that people climbed. Anyone want to give me a shout out to anything that they've climbed? Want to claim a highest thing that they've climbed? Come on, there's lots of conversation. Say that again. I missed that one. You went to Australia and climbed something in Australia. Awesome. Anything else? Kilimanjaro. Kilimanjaro at the back there. Awesome. Sleeve down in the Northern Ireland, is that high or is that that's for the Northern Irish people in the room. So it's a shout out. Mount Snowdon, awesome. In Pakistan. Pat. The monuments in London, climb the monuments in London. Awesome. Let's bring it back down to the manageable for most of us. We started getting really high then. I was out of there. Anyone else desperate to shout one out? Yes, go for it. I'm in Peru. Oh, Devil's Pass in Peru. Wow. Oh, same again, obviously. Did you do that together? By the chance. Awesome. I lived in New Zealand for 3 years. And where we lived, like, there was some mountains that were quite a distant, well, not quite, kind of an hour away to get to where the mountains were. But where we lived was really flat. And so the height of Natalie and I, my wife, climbing and to keep the exercise levels up, because almost every house in New Zealand is one story as well. So there's no stairs inside the houses. When we used to go into Christchurch, the city that was nearest to where we lived, we used to park on the top floor of the multi-story car park so we could walk up and down the stairs. And after being about there for a year, we realized suddenly that actually we were starting to get out of breath doing it. It was like four stories. That was all it was. Four-story, multi-story car park. But we used to purposely park on the top just to climb some stairs. Anyway, climbing things. Another one for you. I've got a picture. In fact, I'll just wait on that picture a minute. Just a few. There we go. You got a glimpse. Just a few months ago, It's tempting you, isn't it? A few months ago, I finally managed to organize and work out and get the weather beautifully to take my son, my oldest son, Matthew, up Pennyfan. Anyone been up Pennyfan? Yeah. Oh, sorry. I'm getting the pronunciation wrong. I'm sorry. But yes. So we climbed up that mountain that was shouted out over there. And it was just amazing. We got there early and we started climbing. I've given you a hint of where this is going. We started climbing and it was just brilliant. Someone said to us, I said, which is the best way to go? I'd climbed it once before. Which is the best way to go? And they said, I'll do the motorway. For Matthew, who was 11 at that time, 12, something like that, he said, do the motorway first. And it really is a motorway, like people just constantly walking up. On the way back down again, there must have been at least 7 or 8 different charity groups who were walking up, kind of collecting money on the way up. And so we got almost kind of 20 minutes from the top and the cloud descended. I was like, no. And so this was the picture. From the very top. There we go. You can put that first picture back on. It wasn't quite black. That was it. That was the picture from the top, from the very top of Penny Fan. Matthew had climbed it. It took us just over an hour, and he got to see that. And his question was, what does it look like out there? What is going on out there? And handily, almost a year to the day earlier, I'd climbed Penny Fan for my first time on a prayer retreat with my prayer partner. We climbed it, we'd done the weekend, and the second day we were out, we decided to climb Penny Fan. And we got to the top, and it was the exact opposite, because this was the view that day. Wow. How amazing is that? So Matthew said to me, what does it look like like that? So I grabbed my phone, I got my phone out, I got the picture of that and went, look, it looks just something like that. He wasn't that impressed because it was a picture on a thing, and he was like, that would look amazing if I could see it, but I'm just looking at a picture. So at some point, we're going to climb it again. I have no idea how I'm going to guarantee the weather like that one. That was amazing. Although it was almost too hot to climb that day. So I don't know how I'm going to guarantee something like that. But it's the question that we're asking as we come into this series of Mark. And I just want to read again the passage from John's Gospel that has been kind of overriding and overarching this series that we've been looking at in Mark. And it says in John 12, it says, now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Their question was, we want to see Jesus. We want to see him. And we've been looking at that through the Gospel of Mark, and how in different passages and different sections of this book, of this letter written, telling the story of Jesus, how we see Jesus. And we get to the passage that was read today. The passage of the Transfiguration, where the few Jesus and just a couple of his followers climbed a mountain. There's two mountains that they think it could be, one of two. There's a bit of a disagreement, although there's a traditional that has always been held, which is just slightly smaller than Penny Fan. And there's one that scholars begin and are talking about being, and it's almost twice the height. It's more than twice the height of Penny Fan. But one of those mountains they climbed that day. They had no idea why they were climbing a mountain with Jesus. But Peter, James, and John were led by Jesus to the top of the mountain. And in short, they got to see Jesus. They got to encounter Jesus at the top of that mountain. In that place, they saw Jesus in all his fullness, in all his glory. Not the Son of Man that was on earth that came to serve, but they got to see Jesus in his glory. They got to see the whiteness. The transfiguration can often be described as the best washing powder ever because it makes it as white as can be. But they encountered Jesus in his glory. What an amazing privilege. And Jesus says to them, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody until I'm raised from the dead. He says, don't tell anybody. It was in that moment, because the time wasn't for Jesus to be fully glorified, but he gave them a glimpse of Jesus, those three that were with him. And at this point, I could stop and just go, in answer to the question, please, sir, can we see Jesus? The answer is yes. We get to see Jesus. How awesome is that? Is that your question this morning? I want to see Jesus. I want to see him afresh. I want to see more of his fullness. I want to see more of who he is. Not just his activity, but his character. I want to see more of him. Then the answer to that question is yes. We get to see Jesus. But this passage just tells us a couple of things that might be helpful as we begin to think about that question. And in a minute, because I'm really not going to be very long, because I just want to give us space. I want to give us space to see Jesus and then to encounter him afresh. But there's a couple of things in there. Firstly, Jesus appears in he's transfigured, he's transformed, and they see him in his character. But it says that they were scared. Their response, he did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Because not only had Jesus appeared, but Moses and Elijah were standing in front of them. He did not know what to say. Because they were frightened. When we encounter Jesus, it's okay to be frightened. I was watching Blue Peter the other day with my boys, and there was the Faraday's cage, which is this kind of idea that you can kind of stand inside of a metal box and they fire electricity at it and you're safe inside it. What? Well, there was this thing on Blue Peter where they took it one step further and basically created suits of armor, chainmail suits, and then they turned it into a performance where they were basically kind of firing electricity at each other in this most amazing display and awe and power that I could ever imagine. And then they got one of the presenters in a suit, and he stood in the middle, and they were both stood on a platform, and they kind of pointed at him, and the power and the electricity went through him, and you physically saw it, and there was smoke and lights to kind of just to create this environment. It was absolutely bonkers. I wonder what that person inside, that presenter, Blue Peter presenter, I wonder what the other two thought, but I guess they began to get used to it. But that presenter who'd never really seen it before, he knew it was safe because he'd seen other people do it. He knew that it should be safe because he'd been told, and all the science and all the physics and everything works. But being inside that suit and waiting for that first blast of electricity, there's going to be fear. There's going to be what's going to happen. And so when we encounter Jesus, when we see him in his fullness, it is not surprising because he's way more powerful than any electricity. He's way more powerful than anything we know. But he's also good. He's also good. But it's not surprising that there's fear. That there's the uncertainty of what this means and what will happen when we encounter Jesus, because when we encounter Jesus, everything changes. Everything changes when we encounter Jesus. For the first time, for the umpteenth time, we are changed and transformed in his presence. And just as Roberto was talking last week about that bottle needing to be filled, that not only do we get filled by his power and his presence when we see Jesus, And he talked about the fact that we leak. But actually, as we're filled and as we encounter Jesus, those things that cause us to leak get filled and get made whole and get restored. That might take more time. And it probably will take until we get to heaven to be fully made into the people that we're made to be. But there is uncertainty, and what does this mean? So fear is okay. What wasn't okay was the idea that they were going to build some tents. It's almost like a plan this, that we should have like three tents in our church next to us, just as a kind of visual aid, 1, 2, 3. Don't build tents. except when you're doing the Christmas experience and you need to help people to understand the story of Christmas. The disciples think, we've got to do something. We've got to do something about this thing that we've just seen. We've just seen Jesus. We've just seen Elijah and Moses appear in front of us. The bringing together of it all. Jesus is doing a new thing, it says. But it's not a new thing outside of the old. It's a fulfillment of the old. We see Moses, the law, and Elijah, the prophet, standing together, and Jesus bringing it all together, that the laws and the prophets come together in that place in Jesus. But Peter wants to do something about it. So he wants to build a tent because that's what he understands we're meant to do. For them, the story of the people of God was that these encounters, that God lives in a tent. He lives in a space. He lives in the temple. That was their understanding of where God. So he was like, this is an encounter with God. Quick, we've got to build something to contain and to put this encounter in. And sometimes that can be our response when we encounter God. We try and sort it all out. We try and put it into nice little boxes. We try and put it in so that we can understand it and we can contain it. And again, that is not the response that Jesus was looking for. Jesus doesn't need to be contained. He's going to break out. When we encounter him, he's going to break out from us into other people's lives. He's going to change and transform the places that we go and the places that we are, starting with us. He doesn't need a tent being built to keep him in, to keep him contained. But in that fear, in that uncertainty, we try to kind of put something around it just to help us to understand. And then we come to that encounter ending. And they begin to walk back down the mountain. And they've got questions. They've got questions. What's just happened? How does this all work out? And again, that's a really normal response. When we encounter Jesus, it's a really normal experience to begin to ask questions. And Jesus doesn't dismiss it, and he begins to help them to understand. Because they know what is meant to happen. They know that for the Son of God to come, for the Messiah to come, for Jesus Christ to come, that Elijah must return. And so they're kind of going, if you're that, then how does this work out and what's going on here? And so they have questions. And Jesus doesn't dismiss those questions. He doesn't say, oh, forget about that. It was all about the experience. It was all about that moment and that encounter. And it's all about that. And just forget about all your questions. He answers those questions. But it's a consequence of the encounter, not an understanding that gets us to the encounter. And so hold our questions as we are looking and seeking after Jesus. But let's encounter him first, that he answers our questions in the midst of it, that he helps us to understand what it is that he's doing and how it is that he works. So it's okay to be fearful. Not in a blind panic, in a kind of overwhelmed fear, but there is a, what's this going to mean? And let's hold our questions, bring them before Jesus, but let's not let that be the stop. That we need all of these answers. We need all the answers to all of these questions before we can get that place of saying, Jesus, I just want to see you. It's a question of hunger rather than a question of having it all worked out and the theology all sorted to do that. But in this story, there's just three. There's just three. We know that there's more disciples. There's 12 disciples, but only three get to go up the mountain. And so for some of us, we kind of go, well, they're the special ones. They're the ones that really Jesus really liked. He kind of picked 12, but he kind of was just relying on getting out of that 12, just a couple that were really, really good. They obviously deserved to meet Jesus. And we don't really know why it was three. In our small group leaders training that we've been looking at the moment, we've been looking at the fact that there's just something significant about the different ways that we relate to people. And that there's something significant about having relationships in which there's just the two and the three. The place that we get fully known. And these, Peter, James and John, get to know Jesus fully in this encounter. And that's really important. And it's really important that we are in a space that where there is kind of a group of us together. That kind of 5 to 15 people that we call small communities, small groups, where we can work through stuff and we can begin to ask our questions out of the encounter. So the relationships and the way that we connect with each other are important. And there's something about this that in this moment, when it wasn't time for Jesus to be fully revealed, that just a few get to see. People who had been with Jesus. And they get to see him in his fullness. But he says, don't tell anyone yet. Don't tell anyone yet. Because the time is not yet. The time is not yet. But the time will come when he is fully glorified. And he has been glorified. And so just the three in that place doesn't limit the rest of us now. Because we stand at the other side of the cross. We stand at the other side of Jesus being raised from the dead. We stand at the other side of resurrection. And so we all get to see Jesus now. We all get to encounter his presence, which changes and transforms everything. And finally, what is that encounter about? Well, again, in this encounter, they've seen the fulfillment of it all coming together with the law and the prophets and Jesus bringing it all together. But then they hear the voice of God, the voice of the Father, of Jesus' Father speaking. Words similar to that we hear at his baptism. But with a slight change. First time, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased, it says in his baptism. Before he's done anything, his identity and who he is affirmed by his Father as that is spoken to us. But this time, the Father says, this is my son whom I love. Listen to him. Listen to what he has to say. As we encounter Jesus for the first time of the umpteenth time, we hear from the Father. We hear what he has to say, what he wants to do. Sometimes it's words of healing and life to us personally. It's that stuff that we've been carrying with us that has just burdened us down. And the Father speaks into that situation. He speaks healing. He speaks wholeness. He speaks encouragement to keep on keeping on with him. And sometimes we hear direction. We hear vision. We hear what it is that God has called us to do. We hear that one moment that says to us, do you know that person that sits next to us in our office? Just go and have a conversation with them. And sometimes you hear a word that just is something that we just couldn't know about that person. And we can say to that person, do you know what? I feel like there's this situation going on in your life where it's really hard at the moment. And I'd love to pray for you. And it breaks something open. Or we wake up in the morning, we encounter Jesus and we say, Well, who is it you want to do? What is it you want to do today? And we hear his voice directing us to speak into other people's lives. So in that moment, in that encounter, that not only is an encounter on the top of a mountain, but is an encounter that we can have daily with God. Are we listening to what he has to say? About us, about who we are, about the stuff that we struggle with. Or are we are we listening for where he's leading us to go with others? Where he's taken us, where he just wants that one word with somebody else and he's going to use you. And it's worth saying and reminding that we all get to hear. Because it says the sheep hear his voice. And so when we encounter, we get to hear. We get to hear the voice of God speaking to us. Affirm through scripture, and it may be scripture that in that moment that you encounter, that it's scripture that he leads you to. But it will be affirmed by scripture. It will speak into. If it's not in scripture, then it's not quite right, and we just need to go back and we need to share it with others and say, this is what I think God is saying. But in that moment, in that encounter, we get to hear Jesus. So the question which starts and has been running through this whole series, please, sir, I want to see Jesus. And so I just want to give us time, give us space, give us quietness to start off with, and then we'll move back into worship. For each and every one of us, there's nothing that disqualifies us. There's nothing that disqualifies us from encountering Jesus. Recognizing that we might be a bit kind of fearful, we might be like, what's going to happen? Recognizing that as a consequence, we might have questions. But let's not allow that to hold us back. There was a word last week that was shared in the moment of quiet that we had after Roberto spoke last week. And it was a picture of a golden fountain bubbling up. And of God doing something in this space. And it seems a bit strange because we've just said we're in Advent and it's a time of waiting and remembering that we're waiting. But Jesus has already done it. Actually, we don't have to wait at the same time. It's one of those funny things where we're waiting and thinking about waiting. But at the same time, we get to encounter Jesus today. His presence is bubbling up. He's got more for us as a community here. So let's press into that. However much of that question you hold today and you say, please, sir, I want to see Jesus. Bring that to him today. So let's just take a moment. Let's take a bit of time just to be quiet. For some of us, it might be that you want to move out of the place that you're at, that you've sat in, you want to kind of sit on the floor or move to the side.